and chapter 21. We're getting right down. I'm not going to finish up tonight. I'll have chapter 22 to go, but it's kind of exciting as I look at Revelation chapter 21. You know, in John 14, Jesus Christ says that he goes to prepare a place for us, and if he goes to prepare a place, he will come again, receive us unto himself, that where he is, we will be with him. And I believe that that's what is being described here. If you get down to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9, it says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me and said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And then verse 10, it says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now, two things are going on here. We have this wonderful holy Jerusalem that has been prepared in heaven and is coming down to hover over the earth. We have that wonderful city there, but I want you to see it's not just a city, it's the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who's the bride? We are the bride. So it's an inhabited city of born-again believers. In fact, as we'll study this and we'll see this, it's born-again believers of all the ages. It's finally all of the Old Testament believers, Old Testament saints, the New Testament believers, the New Testament saints, all gathered together here. And I find that so interesting, and I believe that it's going to continue on forever. I believe that that basically is going to be our heaven, if you would, when we all get to heaven. And you say, well, why do you think that? Let's look down all the way to verse 27, last verse, and then I'll get to some of the stuff in between. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it," that's the city, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination to make a lie." But look at this. "But they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, I've explained to you what the difference between the Lamb's book of life and the book of life is. In the book of life, that's the book of everybody who's ever been born. And if somebody dies without putting their faith in God, their name is blotted out of the book of life. So the book of life is the physical birth book. The Lamb's book of life is the new birth book. When you are born again, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And so when the books are opened, and two of those books, one is the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, those who are believers will be in each book. And so who's going to inhabit this city that we have, this heaven that we have, is going to be born again believers of all the ages. I love that song that we sometimes sing. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Now, on a Sunday evening, I am relatively sure that everybody here is born again believer. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, make sure you call on His name and be saved, so that your name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, because the people who are in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to be in this city. Now, we'll get to it, but it's hard too when I talk about this city, the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. We have kind of the wrong idea of a city. The concept that we have of a city, I've been to, any of you ever been to New York City? All right, somebody, that's a big city. Any of you been to Los Angeles? Yeah, I've been to Los Angeles. Anybody been to San Francisco? Yeah, that's a big city. Any of you been to Chicago? Yeah, that's a big city. That doesn't even hold a candle to what we're going to be looking at here in a minute. So I need to quit teasing you and start moving on here as we look at verse 11. And here's what it has, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. It says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So here they define the jasper stone. It's like the wedding ring that my wife got for our 40th anniversary for me here. A jasper stone here is the color of a diamond, of a diamond, crystal clear, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, it says at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now the handout that I gave you, I tried to show you about that. There's 12 gates there, and each gate is guarded by an angel, and then it's the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. You say, oh, it's just a Jewish city. No, it's not. Verse 14, and the walls of the city had 12 foundations. And these are unusual foundations because they're exposed foundations because you're able to see them. It says, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That's going to be interesting. It'll solve once and for all. We get to that city to find out what the 12 names are. I'm going to go around and it'll take me a long time to get around there. Well, but maybe not. When we don't have to have cars, we'll be able to transport ourselves, however that's going to work. Like Jesus Christ was in one place, came to another place, and then disappeared. But anyway, so we'll see who the 12 apostles really are. In verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. A golden measuring stick. He has a golden measuring stick. And the gates thereof and the walls thereof. And here's the interesting part. And the city lieth four square. Now let me explain that. I have read and read and read and read. And it is interesting. But the city is going to be roughly 1,400 to 1,500 miles wide, 1,400 to 1,500 miles long, 1,400 to 1,500 miles high. Okay? Now, that either is going to be a huge cube, but there's some who say it's going to be pyramidical in form, like a pyramid. Now, you know what? I have no idea. But I know it's 1,400 by 1,400 by 1,400, okay? That is what I know. Now, I've given you another little map to let you see what that is in comparison to the United States. So if you go as far south to the tip of Texas and almost to the tip of Florida, and you go all the way north past our northern border, to Saskatchewan and Calgary, Alberta, that is the one dimension of the city. The other dimension of the city, if you go to Phoenix, Arizona, Helena, Montana, that's the westward limit, and then you go all the way over to, it's hard to see, or to Raleigh, North Carolina, that's how 1,500 miles is. So, all of the believers of all of the ages are going to fit in my Father's house are many what? Mansions, dwelling places. So we're going to have really neat and cool dwelling places in this city that is 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles. All of the believers of all the ages in their glorified bodies are going to be there together. And it says the length in verse 16, and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So is it a square or is it a pyramid? I really don't know and I really don't care. It's going to be cool. That's all I'm going to tell you. And verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof and 144 cubits. The walls of this city are 216 feet thick. Now, it has been interesting to travel in Europe. I know how thick the walls are that we build today. I know how cement blocks are. But if you go into a lot of the fortifications and the castles in Europe, and even in the East Coast, some of the forts and stuff like that, it is not unusual to have walls that are from 8 to 16 feet thick. But that is hardly anything compared to having walls that are 216 feet thick, according to the measure of man, and that is of the angel. Again, that just illustrates the fact that angels, when they appear in a gender-identifiable form, are men, all right? Now we go to this. It's hard for me to understand this. What I have brought to you from my rock collection is a piece of amethyst that I have in my office. This one is faded a little bit, but amethyst is generally a beautiful purple color. I think that's purple, but anyway, I can tell it's blue or purple. So, but anyway, amethyst is normally purple color. And amethyst is the last thing measured there, but it has unique building materials. When we look at this, it says, and the building of the wall of it was as jasper, but you'll remember jasper from an earlier verse. It is the color of a diamond, and it's not the black diamond that they're trying to sell you off today. It's like the diamonds that are clear. The city was, look at this, pure gold. Gold with such a purity. Have you ever seen, there's several buildings around. I'm trying to think of where it is, but I've driven around. When the light reflects on the glass of the building, it looks gold. You ever seen, there's a building around the area that's like that. And it's going to be clear as glass, but it's going to reflect with kind of a gold cover. And the foundations of the walls of the city are garnished. They're covered with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, so you got the diamond. The second foundation is sapphire. If you can imagine that, sapphire is a beautiful blue. It is hard to picture that. I do know this. I'm going to really enjoy it because I'm going to have perfect color in those days. And the third was chalcedony, which is sky blue. And the fourth is emerald. Well, you know what emerald is. Emerald is deep, bright green. And then sardonyx is usually red and white striped. The sixth is sardis. And the chrysolite is like transparent gold. And then the eighth is beryl. That's green, can be yellow or blue as well. And then you have topaz, and you know the topaz color, the color of topaz is kind of a yellowish color, beautiful. The tenth is a gold-tinted green color. Jenosite is violet. And the twelfth, I've already showed you, is amethyst. So, man, if you can imagine the beauty and the reflection that you'll be able to see from wherever you're at a 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles, that is going to stand out. And I'll tell you what, I just think this is amazing. Verse 21, and the gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was one pearl. I mean, I think that that has to be a supernatural pearl. Can you imagine the size of the oyster? that would have a pearl like that? I'm not saying God couldn't do it, but a pearl is formed when a grain of sand gets in an oyster, and then it keeps the oyster produces things because it irritates, but the pearl gets larger and larger and larger and larger. And so you have the gates are pearls. I'm just blown away by that. And the streets of the city are pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I was looking on the internet. Somebody had posted there's this huge deep gorge someplace. And the bridge over this gorge is all glass. Okay, that's in China. And some people get walking out there and they're so blown away and scared because you look right down there in the gorge, you can see them crawling on their hands and knees, creeping across the gorge. I don't like heights all that well myself. And I remember that when we were in Bavaria, there is a bridge that you can cross over this gorge, and you look out to that beautiful castle that Disney modeled his Disney castle after. It's called Neuschwanstein, or Neuschwanstein. And ask Alice for the right German pronunciation. But nonetheless, I was doing real good, taking pictures, until I went, looked down like that, and whoa, then I started getting dizzy. You have this transparent glass. And so I'm presuming that the floors, as you go up in this building that is 1,400 miles high, that they're all glass as well. I'm glad that God's going to take away all our fears, because I would want to live on the lower floors otherwise. And here's the interesting part. The city is the dwelling place for believers of all ages, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of that. We're going to be able to have fellowship, first-hand fellowship. No more sin. We're going to be able to have great fellowship with the Lord. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Well, that meant spiritual light, but I'm telling you, it also means physical light. There is going to be completely different. There's going to be the heavens that are now. They're going to depart as a scroll. I don't know what it's all going to be like, but we're not going to need the sun, the stars, the moon, none of that stuff. And then I like verse 24. Verse 24 says, and the nations, that's the word ethos. That means the people, peoples, and the peoples, the ethos, the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. That must mean we don't need to sleep. Now that must mean, it's going to be light all of the time, and they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise enter in to it anything that defiled. Completely sinless. Neither whosoever worketh abomination, there's not going to be any immorality there, not going to be any sin there. Nobody's going to lie there. It's all going to be truthful, and it's going to be made up of those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ for all the ages. I'd just like to review a little bit for you before we close this evening what it's like 21:1, there's no more sea. 21:4, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. 21:8, no more sinners. And I know that I'm not going to have a problem with height, because 21:12, there's going to be no more fear. There's going to be no more sun and no more moon. 21:23 that we looked at. No more night, 21:25. No more sin or evil, 21:27. No more disease or injury. We haven't gotten there yet, but Revelation 22:2. And the neat part about it is there is no more curse. The curse is going to be lifted, Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. And if that is not enough for you, you think about it, what we're going to see and what we are seeing here, if we parse this and look at what we've studied here, we're going to be having unending fellowship with God, Revelation 21:3, 21:7, and 21:22. Somebody says, Oh, that's going to be so boring. No, it won't. When we have no sin nature, we're going to want to love, to have fellowship with the one who loved us. And I imagine it's going to take years for us to get around and see this great city that we're a part of, that we live in. It's going to have underneath fellowship. And Revelation 21 and verse 5, it says, "And he sat upon the throne and says, Behold, I make all things new." Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that everything is new, and all I can think of is the enjoyment that I've had when I get some new things. There is nothing like the smell of a brand new car. Brand new cars have a specific smell. I don't know why it is and how it is, but so you enjoy certain things that are new. My wife made a new batch of spaghetti. She asked me what I wanted to eat. I have some favorite smells in my life. Specifically three or four of them. And when I smell them and she makes this spaghetti, and she made the spaghetti sauce, and it is so cool to come into the house and to have your senses not pick up the smell of an old house, but you pick up the smell of the spaghetti sauce, and it makes me hungry. Hey, that's all right, right? I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but the indication is here that it is going to be a sensual experience. Now, don't mistake me when I say I'm talking about sensual in relationship to your senses, okay? I'm not talking about sexual or any of that sort of thing, but it's going to be a sensual experience. I mean, you look at the description, can you imagine if you had all these beautiful rocks here on the wall? I can't even imagine it, but having collected rocks and being able to see the colors of some of them and so on and so forth, but it's going to be a sensual experience. It's going to be a sensual experience to our eyes. I believe it's going to be a sensual experience to our ears. I believe it's going to be a sensual experience to our nose. I mean, I can tell when my wife is up and around. You say, how can you tell? Because I get up and start getting closer, and it isn't overbearing or anything, but she smells like pretty. You say, well, what are you talking about? She has a fragrance that I like, and so I can tell when my wife is around, so it is going to be a sensual experience to us. And I can just imagine, you know, all the things we touch, we taste. And I know we're going to eat, because there's going to be a tree that's there. It's going to bear different fruits during different times of the year. And I like different kinds of fruits. My wife at Christmas brought, because when we were in Haiti, we used to eat a lot of them. We used to eat mangoes. It's hard to get good mangoes, but she searched and got good mangoes, and I was able to taste mango again. It tastes like a combination of between a peach and a carrot. You just have to taste one, but to me, it tastes like the combination of the taste of a peach and a carrot. But I'm telling you, when it says he's making all things new, it is going to be a sensual paradise for us as we experience all those things. Believe me, we will not be bored in heaven. And then we have unending water of life, Revelation 21, verse 6, 22, verse 1. We have unimaginable beauty, as I've tried to describe it the best I can in human terms. It doesn't even touch a candle to it, Revelation 21, 11 and 21. And I like this. We have uncompromised security in Revelation 21, verse 12. We have unbroken unity between believers. There's not going to be any tiffs between believers. Oh, yeah, how come she got to sing a solo and we didn't get to sing a solo? There's not going to be any of that stuff there. There's not going to be these tiffs in between believers. There's going to be unity between believers, Revelation 21, 12, and 14. And there is going to be unlimited holiness, 21, 16. Just look at quickly with me, Revelation 21, 16. In Revelation 21, 16, in the, let's see. Well, can't find it. I must have a wrong reference there. It's unparalleled inside. It's untold wealth. It's unending light. Unrestricted access. Unending fruit from the tree of life. Revelation 22:2, unceasing service to God and will like it, and an unending reign. Having said all those things, and just a few more before we quit, beyond these thrilling descriptions in the book of Revelation, we know from other texts of the Bible that heaven will be a place of rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Revelation 14, 13. And here's what I like. And I don't know how this will work. But it'll be a place of full knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. I don't exactly, we're so limited. And some of us think we're so smart. Hey. But in that day, right now it says we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I don't know exactly how that's going to be working, but it's going to be great. It's going to be a place of great joy. It's going to be a place of great glory, a place of great worship. Now, why did I tell you all that? I just want you to know that if you're a believer, this here is just your temporary home. It's just your temporary home. I mean, you know, you're in the world, you don't have to be of the world, and you can enjoy the things that God provides for you now. But I'm just telling you that this old world does not hold a candle to what we're going to have when we are in the presence of the Lord God and the Lamb Jesus Christ in this 1,400 by 1,400 by 1,400 mile city. And who knows? There's gates, so obviously we can go in and out. You know, where do you want to go? I don't know what God's going to do with the creation of the universe or any of those type of things. I'm hoping that there's a library there if you have full knowledge. You just think about this. You just think about this. You'll be able to go and ask Noah what it was really like. You know, how did you fit all those animals on the ark? You know? You can go talk to Abraham and said, whatever possessed you to listen to your wife and take Hagar, you know? Boy, that caused some problems for the whole world. Still causing problems today, by the way. Then to sit down and to talk to, and I think it'll be Jesus Christ, but talk to Melchizedek, you know. Hey, Jonah, what was it really like to be in the belly of the big fish, you know? What was it really like? I don't know how it's going to be, but all I can say is I close things out. Heaven is a wonderful place. Right now, as we speak, our Lord is in heaven preparing a place for us. And when it's done, we'll hear that last trump. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is interesting. I've got to wonder, ever since the creation of the world, man, I shouldn't let my brain run all these places, but ever since the creation of the world, there's always been animals. Now, I do not believe that animals like my dogs die and go to heaven. They don't have, like human beings. Human beings are unique. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ comes back on a celestial white charger. So am I going to be able to have, you know, a horse? I've always wanted horses. I'm presuming that's why God didn't allow me to be a rich man, because I'd have a barn full of Morgans and Percherons and Clydesdales, all the workhorses. Because I've enjoyed horses. But are there going to be animals there? And I'm going to want to see, and you're going to laugh, but I really think that there was, I'm going to be able to see a unicorn. Now, I don't think that they're what we have in mythology, but the Bible does talk about a unicorn. And so it's going to be interesting to see if there are going to be animals that survive so that there will be no death, because it would cause sorrow, so the animals that are there are going to be on for eternity, if they are there. But all I'm telling you, if you have some time sometime, you just think, read this chapter, and you just think what God has prepared for us. And all I'm going to say, isn't God good?